Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Sean Glass, a filmmaker who has two movies in two different film festivals in New York. At the moment, one of which is out here in the Hamptons at the Hampton International Film Festival. And we are ticketed for tomorrow night. Sean, tell us a little bit about the movie Tomorrow Night and how, when you made it and so forth.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, Ryan Sloan and Ariella Mastroianni are really the ones who made it. It's my pleasure to be affiliated with them. They're the real, you know, people, brains behind it and creative behind it. But it's called Gazer, and it plays tonight and tomorrow at Hamptons Film Festival. We premiered at Cannes in Director's Fortnight.
What is it about?
Yeah, sure. It'll be coming out soon with Metrograph Pictures. They bought it at the festival at Cannes. And it's about a woman who has a brain disorder that is deteriorating, and she wants to make some money to give to her daughter before she can no longer do that. It's a film noir, so it doesn't go great. And it has these kind of surrealistic elements where we go inside. The gazing is she gazes. She gets lost in thought, lost in these processes that don't work that well. And it gets her in trouble. And what's really fun about the movie is that we go inside those moments and in her brain and her fantasies or nightmares. Yeah.
Where was it filmed?
Newark and Montclair, New Jersey. Right. Local. It's a bunch of locals.
I know those towns well.
Great. Yeah, it'll be at Montclair Film Festival too.
Yeah. And what's the other film that's you're showing that's going to be at a film festival?
So another one opens today at Film Forum called Medija. The director's name is Hassan Oswald, and it's about a girl named Medija. She's a Yazidi Iraqi refugee, and it's her story. It premiered at Doc NYC last year. It won, I can't keep track. It was either audience award or jury award. Hassan would know better. It did really well, and it'll be at Film Forum this weekend, and, you know, we'll play more. There's some United Nations screenings coming up because the issue is very, very topical, and Hassan is, you know, as much of a filmmaker as an activist with that. It's a funny moment. I had to pick, which one to be at. I'm going to try and be with Hassan next week. We'll pick a screening and we'll like moderate or co-host something together. But we're definitely going to do a United Nations one like election time next month. But I hosted back, you know, we did a lot last year for festivals. So this is like the theatrical release. But I wanted to be here for Gazer. Also, honestly, it's such a nice weekend in the Hamptons right now. I want to swim. I want to enjoy the sun. So I picked that. And, you know, also just before, you know, I want to thank like David Nugent for accepting us into Hamptons Film Festival. He does a wonderful, wonderful job. And I wanted to be here for that. So, yeah.
Do you have a place out here or do you just visit friends when you come?
My grandparents have been out here for, you know, since I was a child. So I'm actually, you know, behind me blurred is a portrait of my grandma. So it's another nice thing that I get to do out here. I stay in my grandma's place and she's back in the city, but she doesn't really come out anymore. I'm kind of the keeper of this place, my uncle and I, but it feels like her, you know.
What town are you in?
Amagansett.
Yeah. Down by the beach or inland?
Yeah. Yeah. Right over there. As soon as we get off, I'm going in the water.
You surf?
A little. I swim. I swim with the surfers. They get mad at me. But I like do a lot. I don't know. I'm a very dangerous swimmer. I swim in the waves. I swim in the hurricanes. Like, that'll be what'll happen to me. I'll say it now and like, it'll happen. Like, I'll go away one day.
Well, quite warm, especially when the hurricanes that
it's been so nice. I was in last night and the water's like really warm. It's October, whatever, right now. Last year, same thing. I was swimming in the end of October, like Halloween weekend. I was swimming out here and it was like no wetsuit, nothing.
What, how long have you been coming out to the Hamptons? I guess all your life.
Yeah, I'm 40. So, you know, 35 years. I don't know.
New Yorker?
Yeah. I went to school with Scoop. I went to Dalton with Scoop.
And where did you go up to school, to college?
I went to Emerson in Boston. I was a film major there, but Scoop and I both did a lot of film stuff when we were like in middle school. Like we had a Friday afternoon movie club. We called it FAM. And we were very like young film kids. So when I was like in high school, I went to UCLA over the summers and did like screenwriting and stuff. And I honestly think that was more formative to like my filmic sensibilities than college was. I hated college so much. And I don't think that it wasn't Emerson's fault. I just was so detached and like couldn't, by the time I got there, I was just ready to go. I was ready to work and like make movies and stuff. And, you know, I don't know.
Your name is Scoop, is my stepson.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry for the listeners. Yeah.
So did you start as doing films right out of when you first did work?
But I took a very strange path after that. So I got right into it. Like I went back and forth between New York and Boston when I was in college, and it was a cool time. And I was like really active. It was the beginning of what would become like branded content and fashion and whatnot that I was a part of, but didn't like. And I didn't want that to be like my future. And at the same time, for money, like I was DJing and working at record labels. And I wanted to just make art films. Like that's what I wanted to do. You know, I'm doing it now, but I'm, you know, it's 20 years later. The only guy who really knew what he was doing was named Antonio Campos. And I'm still, the gang is still the same people. Like, my cinematographer back then was named Andrew Wonder, and he's still the guy now. He has Paul Schrader's film. Like, Andrew's still my favorite cinematographer. He was my, you know, guy at NYU. But I didn't have it figured out the way that Tony did. And I had the music stuff figured out. So I kind of went sideways for a while. I chose it to embrace the music part of my life. And, you know, enjoyed that a lot. My last job was at Apple. We launched Apple Music. It was wonderful. We did all the original content. And that kind of brought me back to what I cared most about, which was movies. And, you know, I just reset everything around, you know, maybe a year or two after we launched, and took the time to like rededicate myself to movies. And what was so, I did it broadly. Like, I didn't say, oh, I'm going to go do. What was wonderful is I returned to exactly where I was before. The same cadence, the same sensibilities, the same people. Like what I loved when I was 20, I love now. And it was such a wonderful, you know, arc to experience. And so I'm like honoring that. Like I love all the stuff. I love what I did when I was 19.
Is it every aspect of filmmaking or parts of it?
Depends on the project. Yes, basically. You know, I make my own, and when it's my own, I shoot the movie twice. Even I'm in the movies usually. I write, direct, I do everything, and I shoot it twice because one time I want to shoot it, and I do like a mock version of it, like with Andrew. We'll walk through the whole movie, and we'll use like, you know, models effectively. And then I'll like hand that to a cinematographer to sort of, so like when I do the movie, it's kind of like a redo. But yeah, and then there's other things where I just work on, you know, the distribution or the exhibition even. I have a company called Reunion where I host a lot of film events. I love the in-person experience. I love movie theaters. Like Scoop and I used to go all the time, and those are my favorite, you know, my favorite times of my life. So being able to watch movies with people that care about them is the most enriching experience that we have. And I do that all the time. So Reunion is my screening series that I'll put a lot of films on, you know, once maybe, and I won't really be that deeply involved, but I'll have a wonderful, quick experience and be able to like elevate that filmmaker and connect with them deeply. So I host, you know, the Q&A and all that stuff. And I love doing it. It's nice. So I like the way of living where, like, if there's stuff that I like in the movies, I want to find a way to get involved, you know?
Tell us about some of the projects you've been involved with chronologically from when you first were able to do this.
Sure. Well, when I was first able to do this, the world shut down. The first thing, I made a few movies in like 2019-ish, like for nothing, like for nobody, like just to do it and get myself, you know, figure out where I wanted to, how I felt about it. The one that I made that was like ready for the world, it got into festivals. It got into the festival that I wanted to get into. I won't say it on here because, you know, I don't know behind the scenes stuff, but it got into my number one festival. And then I got, because of pandemic, like all the international, we weren't allowed to go. So I couldn't do it there. And I ended up doing it at AFI, which was wonderful, but I need, you know, because I could only premiere it domestic, and that was in 2020 during lockdown.
What was the movie and what's AI?
Oh, AFI, American Film Institute, festival out in Los Angeles. But the movie. Yeah, that was a short that I made that was part of what kind of was written as a kind of anthology. So it was meant to be one of three that was in progress at the time, but got completely messed up by pandemic. I called it a 1984 period piece in present day.
I saw that. Yes.
Yeah.
I saw the name of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I took it offline because I was so demoralized by the people watching the movie on computer screens and just like, it looked so bad. I showed the movie here and there in theaters, but I won't put it online anymore. And I have a few like that. I have three more since then. But
what is about those?
The movie was about it was a reconsideration. I had an experience where there's this movie called Creepshow 2 that I watched as a kid, and I had a memory of it. Of what it was and my emotional connection to it. And it came up one night. I was with my friend and I told her about it. She had not seen it. And I was like, oh my God, you got to watch this movie. And I told her this whole version of it. And then I rewatched it and I realized it was nothing like what I remembered. And I would have watched it when I was probably 6 years old, maybe 10, you know? And I had this romantic vision of what happened between these two characters. And it was disgusting. It was not romantic. It was not okay. And it gave me this whole, you know, soul searching, this moment of crisis, honestly, of like, oh my God, do I not understand things? Do I, you know, have I misread people in real life? Was this just a childhood thing or did I learn, you know, bad behavior? And that's what I made the movie about, basically. So the movie is a playing out of that scenario, kind of. And it's me using a movie instead of searching for the answers in real life, which I could not reasonably obtain because I would be doing the bad stuff. I did it with a movie with artistic collaborators and communication. And I think I learned the answers from making the movie. And it's what's really beautiful about art.
What's the name of it?
That movie, a 1984 period piece in present day.
Right.
And there were two other parts that I wrote that were like being cast at the time and being financed and stuff. And then it all got delayed by pandemic. And honestly, like by the time it came around to like being able to do something like that, I didn't really want to anymore. I had kind of moved in a different direction. And yeah, like the next film that I'm going to make is very... So I made a few more really like even more abstract movies, but not, I didn't make them with the like intention of, I haven't put them in any festivals, for example. I just made them to make them, and I showed them to people for the sake of like connection and understanding and for myself. And the next movie that I make, which is being developed right now, is like for other people. You know, it's like for other people to understand. It's not like as cerebral as those are. Those are all these like very, very cerebral movies that mean more to me than they do to the audience. And I want to make one for the audience now.
Do you have a title for it, a working title yet?
You'll see it when it's on the poster. I know what the title is, and it's a really, like, it's very different than the really complicated, stupid title, like the long one of the first one. It's a very simple title, and it says a lot in the story. I have like a fake title. I have multiple fake titles, and I'm not going to tell, like literally no other, it's not written anywhere. I won't even put it in the documents because I don't even want to like tell the people I collaborate with what the title is. And I want to like wait till we're like literally going to premiere the movie and then tell people the title. Yeah.
Tell me about what you're growing up and, just a little bit about your family.
Sure. We're fourth generation. I'm a fourth generation New York City Jew. I love that, you know, my 23andMe has 100% and all of Eastern Europe, where I'm told we have, you know, we had people before they killed them. It doesn't show up. It just shows Jerusalem and New York City. My dad's side's from South Brooklyn. My mom's side's Bronx, Queens, Atlantic City, Absecon, stuff like that. I shot a movie in Absecon because of my grandma. I love New York City. I was raised with really a beautiful, diverse experience through my grandparents. My grandfather on my mom's side was in music, and that's how they all met, because my dad got into music too. And my grandparents on my dad's side were just like the most wholesome, grounding, like Brooklyn Jews you can imagine. Bensonhurst and Bay Ridge and that area. Grew up going to Coney Island and Sheepshead Bay and stuff like that. So I had this, you know, we went to school on the Upper East Side. I was born around Union Square. Went to school on the Upper East Side, and I'd spend weekends, you know, in Bensonhurst and stuff like that, or Queens or whatever. And it was very different. So, as you know, the stuff that Scoop and I grew up around was pretty wacky. You know, it wasn't real life for most people. And that was challenging for me. I didn't understand a lot of that, a lot of the stuff that my parents were doing that was like really fancy. And having my grandparents and being brought to, you know, a very different world that's right around the corner all the time, you know, really, those are some of my most important notes from like growing up, that just the spectrum, the dynamic range of humanity that, like, I think a lot of kids that Scoop and I grew up with thought that that was the world, like thought that, you know, Dalton and that ecosystem, Ivy League, whatever, is the world. And I never thought that. I'm thankful that I never did. And that's, I think, why I wanted to do art and movies. Like, my grandma would show me movies all the time, and that opened up an even broader world. And the way I look at it is like, movies are the world. It's the broadest world you can possibly take part in. And I love that my family has these artistic sensibilities, and they care about, you know, like, yeah, just issues that now have become so, I don't know, so weird in culture and stuff. But like, to me growing up, you know, we had tons of my grandparents worked in disco. So like my dad was disco DJ. So like gay people, black people, like culture was ingrained in our life. It wasn't something that was like weird or abstract, or we didn't need to learn about that. Like when the kids started learning about it in the last decade or whatever, with the, I don't know, it's so strange. It was just normal for us. And I love that. I loved all of it.
The current movie you have showing out here now, has it been to other festivals? Has it won any awards?
I don't, like Gazer, I mean, Madiha won a lot of awards. Gazer, I don't think has won any major awards. It's won like small awards, I think, but not like we went to Cannes and it's not really, it wasn't like, we didn't, the only award that we were up for would have been Camera d'Or, like first feature, and we didn't win that. But which is fine. It's like a major award, you know? But I think, you know, there's like small we're in competition for Hamptons this weekend. So, you know, vote for us and stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't really know what the awards all mean. I think it's all kind of like, it's always such weird, I don't know, weird stuff behind it. Yeah, we got a great deal out of Cannes through Metrograph Pictures. We're going to be in movie, you know, we have it on paper, how many movie theaters we get to be in. And at least, you know, hopefully even more. That's what I care most about. I care about the fact, like, that was the prize that we got. While we were at the festival, we found an amazing partner to put our movie in movie theaters. And that was our prize, you know.
Is it going to be nationwide?
Yeah.
International as well?
Yeah, we got a lot of partners internationally. UFO is our French partner, who have been really great. They've been on board since pre-Cannes. We did that deal. And starting to, you know, piecemeal doing the rest of the territories, but it'll be everywhere. Yeah. When we have those anchor territories, like, you get to be everywhere. It's great. It's so exciting.
Yes. Well, I look forward to seeing it tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
Packed house, I hope. Yeah.
Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks for doing it. Thanks for everything you do. It's really an honor. You know, you are a core piece of our community, you know, around the whole New York City area. I mean, everything, but like New York in particular, you know, that you built a kind of like empire of culture. And it's really beautiful that the legacy is going to last a long, long time. And you've enlightened us to, you know, a lot of just important things, and that it's coming from you, you know, an individual. It's not some corporate project. It's not some, you know, I don't know, whatever, you know what I'm talking about. Like, that you are the one behind it. It's just, that's what good lives are made of. So I appreciate you very much. And it's an honor.
See you tomorrow night.
Look forward to it. Thank you again.
Bye-bye.